session six. I went home for lunch and saw the Giants whoop up on the Nat, so Cardinals and the Giants will reprieve their 2012 battle, in which the Cardinals were up 3-1, and San Francisco came back and beat them 4-3 in the series. That's what we call redemption. Redemption draweth nigh, saith the Lord. Where's JR? Mike, where's JR?
Am I my brother's keeper?
Yes. Could you shut his computer? Thank you, Larry. This is a 14-point sermon checklist. It's helpful to look at your messages and just go through the checklist on your own. I'll just make a few comments about it. Not much to say, really. Am I sure the Holy Spirit has led me to speak this message? Well, a little different in our situation because we've been assigned. So we are sure the Holy Spirit led us to do it because the leaders told us we were supposed to do it. But I think it still is important to know that it's more than just this got assigned and therefore I'm supposed to speak on this. It's another thing to know the Holy Spirit has really orchestrated and dictated that we do this series at this time and this particular message. So it produces the confidence in you that is significant in your preaching. Mike, where's Jam?
He's with Bishop
Manny. Manny trumps anything I had to do. I just say, yes, sir. Does the main burden of the message burn in my heart? Now, I think this is especially important when preaching the series that we've developed corporately. Because it's easy just to get in the routine of doing the next message that's coming. But have you allowed that message to really burn in your heart? And the burden of the message is your burden too. You've got to make it your own, or it just won't have the impact that it can potentially have. And if others have developed a series for you, I imagine that's even more difficult discipline than if you'd be responsible every week. Because if you're responsible every week, you're going to talk about the things that are important to you and that are a burden to you. And when you look across the course of a year, I'm sure at the beginning of the year you think already there's some series that you're more excited about than others. Like, that one will be great. I can't wait. That one, not as great. And that's just natural. But it's important that every sermon, the best as we can, that we've made the burden of the message our burden too. So it burns in our heart. Does my life reflect the message I'm preaching? Does my life reflect the message? We're not just teachers. It was just about teaching. You see, the thing about teaching is the material that you're communicating doesn't have to have affected you personally. But in preaching, it's totally different. We're not just passing on information. The material that we're presenting has to have personally affected and changed us. That's why I think it's difficult on some of the topics that we get. And it's difficult when it's Wednesday and you're just starting to think about Sunday or Saturday. Hard to get the working in your life that early. I always I need a month in the perfect world to do a sermon that I haven't preached before. I need a month's advance notice. I'm preaching the first of the Job series. Is that a week from Sunday?
Yeah.
I started on that one a month ago. So I have, for a month, I've been listening to the book of Job. I have Max McLean, who's an incredible Shakespearean actor, a member of Tim Keller's church, professional actor. He published a series of CDs of reading through the whole Bible. Now, if you have the, what's the?
Bible B.
No, I'm thinking of maybe it's on that too, but the U version, the NIV, when you have it, that's Max McLean reading it.
Also the Bible Gateway.
Same?
ESV is his voice.
No, he did NIV.
No, the Bible Gateway is the ESV.
Him reading the ESV. Is that free?
Yeah.
There's a Bible Gateway where you can
Bible
Gateway. The voice of
McLean.
Doing the NIV.
NIV, yeah.
Yeah, NIV. It's not the ESV. Yeah, I have the CDs. I bought the CDs before that was before it was free, so it's loaded on my machine. So I go to bed at night, and I have Max talks to me all night. So he reads the Bible to me. It runs all night, and so I've been listening to the book of. I've just had the book of Job on a cycle, over and over, listening to the book of Job being read to me the last month. Just trying to absorb, get it into me, make it a part of me. I've also been getting suffering verses and meditating on suffering verses. I try to meditate on God's word as much as possible, and it's a discipline. I swim 3 times a week, and while I swim, I'm meditating on verses. So I have particular verses I'll come with. So I've been getting suffering verses. Anyway, it's just all part of the preparation. Because the question is, does my life reflect the message? Not that I just do a really good job of presenting truth and teaching people, but is this true in my life? The truer it is, the more powerful impact you'll have. Jeff?
So, Paul, what are some practical ways to make the message burn in your heart? For example, you can preach on generosity.
Well, I'd like to hear some other guys' thoughts, but I guess what I would do, because the problem is you have to speak every week, right? Most of you guys are doing every week, so that's always more challenging. It's easier for me, who just gets an occasional shot, you know, but if you got to do it every week, plus you do more than just preach too, don't you? Yeah, you got plenty of other things to do, so I guess I would look at the year. The first of the year, I would look at the year, and I would look at the messages I think I'm going to have the most trouble with. Or the ones that's not going to come as easy from me. Like I turned down, I think we talked about the Santa Rosa, right? Yeah, we talked about that. So that wouldn't come, I would have to take a lot of work on that one. So I probably, if I was in your shoes, I'd be thinking in advance of the ones that it's going to take a little extra work. And I'd be thinking about those, and I'd be setting aside not long periods of time, but maybe 30-minute, one-hour slots in my week where I schedule in just to meditate on that one. But I'd give myself a month or two in advance, you know, so by plotting it out, you could probably do it. Because the problem is if you know, it's Wednesday and you're thinking about Sunday and it's not something that really burns in your heart, hard to get a burning passion in a few days. But if you have some time to let it simmer, meditate, think about, I think you'd have a better chance of making it a part of you. So that's one of the things I would do. What about you? What do you guys do? I mean, this happens, right? When you get a message that's just like, I got nothing in my heart. What do you do? What do you do?
Like in the case of God's not dead, what do you do?
We're not talking about that one. No, do you face this?
Yeah. Give us some best practices.
What do you guys do?
Call a friend.
Well, how does a friend help it become a burning passion in you?
For example, the one that you turned down a couple of weeks ago.
Did they call you?
No, but I gathered some of my friends who will be preaching on the same topic and say, hey, let's deliberate here. I'm really out here and Pastor Paul said we have to end up with a Christocentric, Christ. So I want to make sure that I am accountable, how do we cut this out.
I love it.
So that's just, you know.
That's a good thing.
Good safety net for me.
Thank you, thank you. So you get some people involved. That probably helps. Yeah. Do you guys do that? Yeah. I mean, I think you do it as teams, don't you?
Yeah, the hub thing is very helpful because you get people's ideas and you think about it and
ideas, yeah, I get that. That's important. But there is a little difference between that and having the, you know, what is coming from you. What do? Listen to people who have that burden already. It's great, yeah? Yeah? Was someone over here going to say something? JR, what do?
If I have some thoughts already, but it's not just really burning in my heart.
Yeah.
I would throw it to other people, and especially I'll throw questions. What if this? And I will try to get into their minds and see what do they think about these things, about these situations, until I see, so this is how people think about this. So I'll try to address some of their fears or questions, and from there, because I knew that this is a reality for them. Then I would know that I will not be talking in vacuum, but I'll be able to address directly people's concern.
Great, yeah. Gilbert, what do? How often do you preach?
Well, not in this season of my life right now. I'm busy with helping promote the Victory Worship album. But
yeah.
I preach once a week. And when I was starting out, I would probably get the notes of Pastor Gilbs.
Yeah.
And I would preach through his notes. And that would be a challenge because that's not my voice.
Yeah.
But what I really try to do is to... that's one of the first things that he passed on to us when we were beginning preaching is to get that message to burn in your heart.
Yeah.
Is to find one point in that whole outline where you can get behind on, in, at, whatever, and let it burn in your heart.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, if it's not the one that was sent to you, prepared for you, find something else that a different angle of perspective that will burn in your heart and go with that. I think that's the best way to really pitch a message that's not really burning in your heart right now. Find some way to let it burn in your heart.
Yeah. Maybe if the whole message doesn't grip you, at least one point. If I did that, I would make sure it would be my last one, too. I would want to go out high.
Last one? Last preaching? Or
last point, yeah.
Just want to make that.
In other words, I would make everything head towards that. Yeah. Erwin, go ahead.
Yeah, read books. Like, for example, I'm reading this book now. So
God was there.
Yeah. At least
he's not dead.
Yeah, but the thing is, I would look for a book that at least one chapter of it talks about, because I don't have the luxury of time to read the entire book.
Yeah.
So but this one, for example, the chapter one is about the existence of God. So that's, and then as I was reading it, I realized that there are some points that struck me personally, and that I have not thought at first.
Yeah.
Yep.
Great. Great. Okay. Does the message exalt Christ and lead people to worship? So, God's not dead. Does it exalt Christ and lead people to worship? Can I summarize the point of this message in one succinct statement? Succinct, yeah, to the point. Succinct is concise. We call that the 4 a.m. test. Did I tell you the 4 a.m. test? 4 a.m. test is your wife wakes you up in the middle of the night, 4 o'clock in the morning. Says, what are you preaching on tomorrow? In one sentence, without having to think about what comes out of your mouth? It should be a clear, besides, shut up, woman, go back to bed. No, that's not what we do. That's not how you make it 35 years.
Otherwise, you cannot preach.
Yeah, I know. Whatever comes out, does it come out clear? I'm preaching this. Or is just meandering, wandering? Isn't clear. Are my points clearly rooted in the text and in agreement with the whole teaching of Scripture? Of course, that's when we're doing expository preaching, which I think we should always be doing. Do the points really come out of the text? Or are we just making up points and then finding text, verses, that sort of back up our statement? Is the progression of my thought logical and easy to follow? And is there a clear path for my listeners to follow? John Wesley used to preach his sermons. John Wesley, highly educated, Oxford educated, brilliant man. He used to preach his sermon to an illiterate servant girl before he would preach it. And she had the freedom to interrupt him at any time when she didn't understand. So he wanted to make sure that his flow of thought was such that a uneducated person could follow where he was going. That's good.